You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. In the first segment, oh man, we talk about so much. Of course, we talk about the Belarusian Premier League, the real Premier League, okay? And of course, they've got it all figured out. They know how to beat the virus. We also talk about Chinese Detroit. you didn't think we'd ever talk about that, but baby, we did. And we also talk about Tim Weah's dad. Not only is he a president, not only is he a soccer legend, but the boy got beats.
Yeah, and he's been renamed to Tim Weah's dad. Who cares what he did in his life? Also in the second segment, we're going to be joined by Fafa Pico of FC Dallas. We talked to him about New York. We talked to him about Miami. We talked to him about all the damn languages he knows, because it's, you know what? Frankly, it's intimidating and it makes me feel like I didn't pay attention in school.
It's a bit much.
he needs to tone it down with all these languages, all right? So all this and more today on the
Cooligans!
Man, like troops, back again. About my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Yeah, baby!
That's that quarantine energy. I love
yeah.
it.
Oh, I can hear my wife in the other room going nuts. What are you doing?
Yeah, that wasn't really a yeah, baby, more than it was a cry for help.
It was a scream of, please let me out of here, please. At this point, you know what I want? I want to catch a little mild version of this coronavirus. Okay. You know what I mean? A Corona Light. Let me get a Corona Light and let me get through that. Okay. And then maybe I'll be fine.
I'm trying to watch my pandemic. You know what I'm saying?
You know, no, I'm trying to. I don't want to get too much phlegm weight. You know what I mean?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed. And it is not only that.
No, it is not just that. It's also the gulliest. What up?
Okay. Quarantine, no quarantine, pandemic, epidemics, doesn't matter. We nah, still going.
I don't care. Anemic, whatever you, and anything you want in the MIC, we're good out here.
Okay. Not even a zombie apocalypse can stop us from bringing you a soccer television show.
Hell no. And by the way, I'm tired of seeing y'all ordering stuff out from the outside. On Instagram. What are y'all doing?
What do you
y'all
mean?
Just spreading. Like, yeah, I mean, it stays on cardboard boxes, my guy. Spray everything down with bleach. Everything you own is tie-dye now. Wipe it all down with bleach.
So basically, starve. Don't order anything. That's Alexis's strategy.
Nah, just wipe down your apples with bleach, my guy. No, I'm joking. Don't do that. Don't do that. Fubo's going to cut that out, right? Like, please don't.
But yeah, yes, at least I'll put a disclaimer before the show begins. Welcome, everybody. This has been, I can speak for myself. It's getting more difficult every day, right? Emotionally, taxing, obviously being quarantined at home. And we all know it's for the right reasons, for the greater good. But it doesn't mean it's easy. It's difficult being this kind of a hero, you know?
It's taking its toll, you know what I mean?
And sitting at home watching Netflix all day.
First of all, I've been busier these past 2 weeks than I have been previously. What's happening? How come I'm not getting a mini vacation here?
So that's what we all sort of expected. This is paid leave, I think, from the government.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone else is posting like watching Tiger King for the third time, and I'm like, I'd love to do that.
No, man, it's there's something therapeutic, you know, about even just working, right? I think. You know, when work gets too overwhelming, people are like, man, I need a break. I wish I just didn't have to work. And then we all don't have to work. And it's like, oh, man, I kind of want to work a little bit.
The president of Belarus? You know what you need. He actually said, we'll be fine. They're not shutting. Belarus, not only are they still playing soccer, they're not shutting down the country. They said, we'll be fine because we have vodka and hot baths and saunas.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, you'll forget you're dying of this disease because you'll be so drunk.
Yes, that was, I think we mentioned it last week briefly. But the Belarusian Premier League, the only Premier League I respect, is still going.
I believe you just mean the Premier League.
I don't even know why I qualified it with saying Belarusian beforehand.
The redundancy of what you just said is pointless.
So yes, they're still playing games, and then I guess the president of the country was
the president of the Premier League said it first, and then the country was like, I'll back my man up.
Well, I think they're the same guy, to be honest.
Are they?
I don't know.
They might be. I think they were just both in the same sauna wearing a towel around their waist as they're getting slapped with leaves, just huge bamboo leaves.
Doesn't it feel good to be on top?
Look at me, coronavirus free.
Let's kiss. We're invincible.
I licked every pole on the way here.
Oh man, so look, out of some countries are have no respect for this disease that's genuinely killing people. And they're still going on with their lives, and we'll see what the consequences of that will be.
Can I tell you something? Wouldn't it be crazy if they're right? Wouldn't it be nuts if like no Belarusians die?
Oh yeah, that was the vaccine. Just
Dr. Fauci's like, shit, I didn't think of saunas.
these guys are brilliant. He just burns his medical degree on air.
This is pointless. So, now someone tell me, is that my tractor double parked or is yours?
So the look, at least there's some and look, there is a lot of it's feeling more real every day, and it's hitting close to home, especially for us. And I did want to send out just some love and support to Jillian Sakovic of MLS. She posted a video a few days ago mentioning that she tested positive for COVID-19. So this stuff is scary, man. It is very, very real. And, I know it gets difficult to stay home day after day, but you're genuinely helping and you're, being part of the solution, because this stuff is wild, man.
Yeah, I mean, and it's across the board. I think the first infant to pass away with COVID-19 recently passed away. So it's every age group has fatalities in it. Just stay home. It's really not that difficult. I know there's a lot of people that are in positions that can't stay home, and I get that. And then maybe you could Google something or find a place or someone that can help you out. And I really hope that you find the help you need. But if you are able to stay home, please, please, please stay home. And shouts to all the healthcare workers. My wife in particular, who has to run to these into a hospital that has multiple COVID floors on it. All the healthcare workers that are posting videos up online, they're asking you to stay home. If you're not doing it for yourself, do it for them. They're fighting on the front lines. This is literally what this is. One of the hospitals in New York City has a refrigerator truck for all the bodies because there's not enough room in the morgue. If that's not enough reason for you to stay home, then I don't know what to tell you. Then you know what? Let me put on a lot of gloves and I'll show up to your house in a full outbreak suit and smack you in the face. Can I do that?
Take that, dummy.
stay the F home.
Obviously soccer is not happening outside of Belarus, but a lot of people are
listen. They don't care.
They're not gonna start anytime soon.
They'll play the game in the sauna if you think they're gonna stop.
Okay. The goalkeeper is holding a vodka bottle. It's crazy.
Buddy, that's a mixologist.
No, so
he doesn't stop shots, he makes them. Okay.
Okay, that's it. I mean, if that's not an ad for like some vodka company, I don't know what.
am I getting creative in the quarantine?
No. So a lot of people are handling it their own way, and we have to discuss was out of Liberia. This has been kind of wild because Liberian president and former player George Weah,
former legend,
absolute legend.
Dad of American national team player Timo Weah,
Timothy Weah, correct. And how embarrassed must Timothy be right now his father?
Embarrassed. I mean, he wishes he could drive around town banging this joint out of whatever car he drives, because George Weah, you may remember him as political candidate, successful political candidate at Liberia, superstar soccer player, legend.
President. Yes, he's president. The president of Liberia.
Yeah, he's a successful candidate.
Give him a little bit more credit than just, he ran a successful campaign.
Couldn't do the job, but he did it. Well, anyway, not only is he an amazing president of Liberia so far, he took time out to say, hey, yo, Drake, you ain't as good as you think you are, my guy.
Okay.
You think you can make one dance? You think you could take a little Afro beat and make a joint out of it? I got this. Not only will I do that, I'll also save the world. Okay? Because he made that coronavirus song, which is... Yes.
And there's been a couple.
Part of it sounds like they're rooting on coronavirus.
Corona.
And I was like,
you can do it, Corona. No. So he, they made a warning, a song about basically to uplift the world, in regards to coronavirus. And it is definitely, we are the world, we are the children type of track. But with a little bit more flair, you know, it slaps a little harder than just something like that.
It's like the only thing missing was like, if your Metro don't trust you, he gonna cough on you. You know what I mean?
Okay. We just need a strong producer. You know, we need Keith. We need Take Keith on this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yo, like, you know what to do, Take Keith.
So there's a couple amazing lines in it, and George Weah is kind of singing, feels like a little reggae-y kind of singing, kind of speech or whatever.
I hate to compare him to this person, but it's like a late R. Kelly, where you're like, is he rapping or singing? I can't really understand what's happening here. It's like Trapped in the Closet. You're like, and then he's walking down the street, and you're like, well, you're not really singing, all right? Adding a little melody to his conversation is all you're really doing.
So it's a little bit of that, but he has a couple hilarious lines that seem a little oddly out of touch. You know, he says like, it's a dangerous disease that it can affect your father, your mother, or even your sister.
Yeah. I mean, that's how far down this disease is willing to go. What's happening in Liberia?
It's going, it'll even go after your sisters. You know, those beings we barely respect. Yeah.
That secondary line of defense. I just think he needed an extra syllable in there.
Yeah,
I didn't realize
it's tough.
It sounds.
I can't write a song. I mean, look, I'm not judging that.
No, and if I did, it wouldn't be a grade A slap-a-thon like this was. I'm not even kidding. It starts off kind of corny. Once you get to the middle of it, I don't know anything about music. Is that called the bridge? I have no idea. Once you get to the GWB, it hits so hard. I'm not even joking. Like, you mess with it. Like, if they played this at, like, the Caribbean joint while you were getting some, I don't know, whatever, you're getting some, doubles at a Trinidadian spot and this was playing, it'd be in the mood. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You wouldn't bat an eye. You'd be like, okay, this is the music from your country, I see. Yeah.
Okay, word. Well, okay. Thank you for playing your local radio. Okay. You know? Or maybe you're at a West African spot and you're like, yo, let me get some more jollof rice. Also, I'm going to put up a little Shazam right now because I'm feeling whatever this beat is right here.
Because I need to add this to my Spotify playlist immediately.
Okay. I want nothing but trap music, drill music, and whatever this is.
Because this new genre that you're playing right now needs to get on my playlist quickly.
Right? Is this a Pop Smoke B-side that I didn't hear?
So, look, you appreciate that the contribution, President Weah. We'll see this is really a point made to all the other presidents of all the other countries. Like, yo, you gonna come back at me or what? You know,
you got 24 hours to respond, my guy.
You know,
I can't wait to hear the Belarus remix.
Oh man, it is just gonna be one long swear.
Is he drunk? Well, yeah, he's trying to cure the disease.
Hey, okay, look, different countries apply different medicine. Okay,
yeah, you trying to get a vaccine? My man's got great alcohol. Let it go.
Speaking of other coronavirus song, there's another one. There's a Dominican one. I don't know if you heard that one.
No.
There's a
are you talking about Cardi B's?
No. A Dominican, like a dembow one. I forgot the name of the guy that did it, but that one slaps pretty hard. Also, there's a cumbia version. Coronavirus. It slaps pretty hard too.
It doesn't matter what nightclub you're not allowed in. We have a song for you.
Okay, so look, this virus is bringing people together in a way we did not really expect. You know,
I can't wait until the Twitter, whoever handles the Twitter for New Jersey, when they have a song. I mean, wow. It's going to be calling all y'all out.
So, look, some people are making music to cope, but there are also people
please,
that are
Trump,
doing.
Do not make a song.
please do not. And, you know what?
Have you guys heard I Was Right the Whole Time by Trump? It's actually not that bad.
That'd be terrible if it's good. Oh my God, no!
Imagine it hit hard. And you were like, no,
you're not supposed to be able to do this.
Oh God.
Oh my God. But no, there are people doing some positive things. Similarly, we should talk about Marcus Rashford from Manchester United, who just I believe either donated or raised a ton of money for. Kids like school meals, because a lot of children rely on those meals for nutrition.
It's a huge issue here in New York City too. New York City is actually giving out box lunches and three meals a day to students, which is insane. There's a lot of kids in the city here that can't really even afford to feed themselves, or their families can't afford to feed them, and they were dependent on the school lunches. And apparently the same thing in England. So shouts to Marcus Rashford for doing that. He works with an organization that is doing it. So he even gave a nice quote about his childhood growing up, that he wasn't able to eat anything if it wasn't for school until his family got home later that night. But he said even he felt he was more fortunate. There's a lot of kids that don't even have that option when their family gets home. So, dude, shouts to Marcus Rashford for that.
I mean, when I was a kid, during the summer, that's where I got breakfast. I went to my elementary school and got breakfast. That was the only place I ate because my mom went to work and stuff like that. So it is crucial to a lot of people. So that is a cool thing. The other one was Anthony Taylor, the referee for in the Premier League, also signed up to be a volunteer. I think at his sister's hospital. I think his sister is a doctor.
Yeah, sister's a doctor. And he said that, she's in the front lines and she's seeing a lot of really bad stuff, and she's, you know, for the lack of a better term, busting her ass. So he felt it was the least he could do was become a volunteer and try to help out in the same hospital.
Yeah. So that's you love to see it, that kind of support. And
he spent the whole time trying to give a red card to the disease, which just doesn't work, dude.
Imagine, look, he's going to come back to refereeing when the Premier League gets back and people are still going to boo him. They don't care.
Yeah. Although the first time he coughs, everyone's going to be like, okay, all right. I'm not arguing, you know.
A couple other things we should talk about. One of them is trying to figure out when this, you know, nightmare ends. What's soccer gonna look like, and how are some of these leagues gonna finish? We already know, and we confirmed, we spoke about it a little bit last week, but we confirmed the Olympics officially moved to 2021, Copa America moved to 2021, all those summer tournaments as well. So now we have the summer for especially the leagues in Europe to play out their games and figure out what they're going to do to actually complete these seasons.
Especially Premier League and Bundesliga and all the European leagues, they're almost done. So there's all this interest. It's like, well, what do we do? Right. We can't just leave it here. And when you have a system like promotion and relegation and Champions League and all these other things, like how you finish the season makes everything else sort of tick. It's like the qualifiers for everything else. So it's kind of really difficult to say, like, I mean, MLS, if you had to cancel, it's two games into the season. It's not that big of a deal. You could just sort of pick up and start it over. But what do you do in Europe?
Exactly. Right. So, yeah, I think people are less concerned about MLS, and obviously because the calendar is different. But some of the suggestions that people have made for European leagues, at least the Premier League, are kind of what is happening in China, right? So if you haven't seen these stories, especially about how China's handling basketball, they're thinking about having all their teams play all their games in two cities. So they'll basically have like a like an Olympic Village for all the players, and then they all play their games in a you know, smaller city or more of a confined area.
I don't know if you know this. We've never talked about this, but one day I got on a very deep, long YouTube rabbit hole, and there's one guy who's been arrested multiple times in China. What he does is he takes like professional drones and he flies them through cities that exist but no one lives in China. Like China created like a Detroit or like a Cleveland, and no one ever moved in. And like, it's just there. There's water fountains, there's statues, there's multiple buildings, schools, no one lives in it. Everyone go there. It's like, yeah, one will be the Premier League city, and obviously, I mean Belarus. Right, the other one will be the Bundesliga city, and like, you could just play your games there.
But once they hear that it's like Detroit or like Cleveland, they're like, no thanks.
Well, I think that's why no one moved in. They were like, well, why would you do that?
Why are you marketing it this way?
I feel like this is a missed opportunity. You know, you could have said anything. You know,
you could have said Paris. You could have said.
That was on the list.
You went with the wrong, example. No, so that's kind of been one of the suggestions, and one of the ideas put forth was to play all the games in the Midlands of England, so that obviously I think it's less populated. Maybe there's also less cases of coronavirus, so that
it's very countryside-ish out there. Yeah. You know, yeah. I don't know. I know that there's a lot of cities like Leeds, and there's a lot of cities that I guess are considered Midlands. You know, but they're closer, I believe, along the water. Once you get to the middle of that country, it's kind of pretty barren. So that might be a great place for it. I just don't know where you'd put everyone up. It would be like the soldiers quartered in your house. Like, all right, well, you know, Harry Kane, you live with this nice family. You know,
yeah, that'd be adorable.
That'd be kind of cool, yo. Mom is making you breakfast.
What's for breakfast, Mom? Yeah.
All right, Mom. This is nice. Full English. I'm a professional athlete. I can't really eat all that. I don't know if my English accent's any good. I might have went Irish there for a little bit.
So, well, best of luck. We'll see what happens, man. It's gonna be an interesting conclusion, especially when all this is over.
Just
all
right, go to Chinese Detroit.
We'll be back right after this, everybody.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, actually an event
that we're hosting with one of our homies, DJ Step.
That's
the
right.
Chicago Fire DJ.
But wait a minute, we can't do events in this climate, right? What's happening?
No, Alexis, we're breaking every law and every ordinance.
Finally, let's go. I've convinced Christian to come to the dark side.
No, we're doing an event on Instagram Live. We're going to be going on Instagram Live, Alexis and I, but we're going to be joined by DJ Step, who's going to be DJing for all of you. So all you got to do is
everybody just knows who DJ Step is, right? He is the main DJ, the DJ for the Chicago Fire, as Christian would call them.
Okay, so he's a dear friend, an amazing DJ. So he's going to be spinning some of the best FIFA tracks on Instagram Live, on our Instagram Live. So it's going to be dope.
You want to party with us, dude? Just pull up Instagram, dog. Charge that phone, yo. Wednesday night.
Okay, but it gets I got the club going up on a Wednesday. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
There we go. A little I love my DJ as opposed to I love my Conan.
So all you got to do is go to @soccercooligans on Instagram Live. It's going to be Wednesday night. So this podcast is out on a Wednesday. So tonight, if you're listening when the podcast is released, at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Central. He is going to be in Chicago. So the people who are in, you know, in Central America, that is, it's going to be 8 p.m. for you guys.
Central
so
America.
Central America.
You heard us. El Salvador.
Tune in, El Salvador.
I'm pretty sure you meant the Midwest.
No. Central America. I said it correctly. So tune in at our Instagram Live, at Tucker Cooligan. And also, if you want, you know, send us a DM or on Twitter, use the hashtag Gully Radio with some of your favorite FIFA tracks. And we'll see it. And so will DJ Step, so you can get it into his DJ set on Instagram Live. So, yeah, hit us up. Let us know what songs, some of your favorite songs from FIFA. And we'll get them in the Instagram Live.
Yeah, baby!
Okay. Here it is.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. We did a vibe check, and they're very high right now.
Yeah. If you listen to this, you know the vibes. Okay.
Okay. The vibes are clear. So we're excited about today's show. Welcome. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians. I host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen. And we're excited about today.
Well, hold on. It's not just the funniest. It's also the gulliest. Okay. We can't forget that.
That's right. And our guest embodies that completely.
100%. And I pronounce 100 perfectly.
So we're excited about today's guest. Obviously, Philadelphia Union legend, currently at FC Dallas.
No. New York City's own. We got to stop right there, my guy. New York City's own. And then he went and graced Philadelphia with that New York City excellence.
Yes, please introduce our guest, Alexis.
And now he's in Dallas showing him what's up, right? How to eat a bacon, egg, and cheese correctly. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, our amigo, because now we know he speaks Spanish. Ladies and gentlemen, Fafa.
What's going on, guys?
Fafa.
I love the introduction.
Yeah, baby. We got to give it to you, yo.
Fafa, man, look, we are, like a lot of people, we're huge fans of you, especially while you were at the Philadelphia Union was when, you know, you got introduced to us. And, you know, obviously, you know, we would go to Yankee Stadium and watch you just burn some of the left and right backs because you're too damn fast. But, dude, thank you so much for joining us, man. We're, like I said, we're huge fans of you. And, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but Alexis did mention you are from New York, but you are a person who's been around the world. We were talking beforehand. You speak 7 languages. Why, bro?
I just moved a lot, to be honest. And then I grew up around a lot of different cultures. And I mean, growing up, I wasn't the first one in the house. We have a very cultured family within our house, and I was probably the last one that was expected to learn more languages, and life just kind of taught me as I went along. So I learned 7 total, but I'm fluent in 5 of them.
You say that as if like you're giving yourself some sort of grace here. Like, well, guys, I'm only. English is my 2nd language. I learned Spanish. That was my 1st language. And I speak both of them at about a 50% capacity. Now you speak 5.
I didn't have a choice for some of them, man. I had to kind of, the more you move, you just start learning. And then with a lot of different teammates from different places, you pick up from everybody's culture and languages. And if you care enough, you learn.
Yeah, I guess I just don't care enough. But you played, you went to Italy at an early age, right, as a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, you went from New York City to Florida, Florida to Sardinia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then Prague, and St. Pauli is in there as well.
Yeah.
And now you went Philly to Dallas. Of all the places, since you remember, you were 9 when you moved out of New York, so you remember what a real slice should taste like. Of all the places, who's got the most trash pizza?
Most trash pizza.
Let's go.
Man, this is tough.
It's a tough answer.
The most trash. For now, I'm going to say probably.
Oh, we need a drum beat.
Probably in Germany, man. Like, unless you, you have the Italian immigrants, so I'll be lucky and go to their places and get the good stuff. We meet like once a week. But apart from that, like on an everyday, you know, just pick up a pizza somewhere, I'd it's probably garbage. See Jerry Trash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's trash. Yo, yeah.
How about I really thought it would go Dallas, Prague?
Prague's up there with Germany. Don't take me wrong. Dallas, I'm fresh, so I'm gonna cut them slack for now. But yeah, New York, you can't really beat New York, Italy, and then you have Miami as well. Like,
yeah,
you just gotta
in that order though. New York above Italy. I like where your head's at, Fafa.
Oh, it's home. That's the first home, man. You got it. Yeah, definitely.
And so when it comes to your sense of like, I guess maybe is it New York? Is that where you feel like you are from? I mean, you've been introduced to so many different cultures. Is there anyone that after New York, what's second best?
It's difficult, honestly, because I grew up split between New York and Miami. So I claim both. Obviously, my attitude is a lot more New York than Miami. It's just that I don't have the time for foolery, and but I still care. I do have a big heart. It's very split, but then I'd say a lot of the Italian culture is in me as well. So it's very difficult to say. Kind of depends what side of the pillow or the bed I wake up on, however they say it. But but yeah, I'd say New York first, and then Miami's very Latino influenced, and so that's also a big part of me, but so is New York, so I don't know who to credit that to. And then Italy is definitely a big part of my culture.
You know, it's funny. It's like we're so similar. Like Christian's Dominican, I'm Cuban, and I spent like when I started getting in trouble. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. When I started getting in trouble, my mother would send me to Hialeah, which is like, you know, another boot camp for getting in trouble. Nice. I just refined what I learned in Newark. Haitians are a big part of Newark and a big part of Miami. So I always grew up around a lot of Haitians. He's Dominican, which is, you know, part of the culture as well, part of Hispaniola. Yeah. Like, it's so funny you're saying that, like, Miami and New York, because I always saw the attitudes were the same. It's just Miami is just like a bit more of a relaxed version of New York. Like, they don't care to be on time. We're in New York. Like, yo, we got to get there 15 minutes early because the train won't be there.
I feel like that's the major part of why New Yorkers are considered rude. Just nobody has actual time. It's not that New Yorkers are rude. Nobody has time for the foolery. So it's just like, yo, if you're not saying anything serious to me right now, I got to go get this money to pay these bills.
Yeah, then I'm out. Also, could you get out of my way, my guy?
Yeah, you just, facts. So it's not anybody trying. So for those that are listening that don't understand New Yorkers, New Yorkers are not rude. I'd go as far to say, as much as I love my Miami people are way more rude than New Yorkers. You don't understand it unless you're there for longer than your 4 days of spring break. So, South Beach spring break is not real Miami people. Like, come down south.
I wanted to talk to you about especially we had a question from one of our Gully Squad members. Shout out to Steve Hamlin. He asked about, you know, we have a lot of viewers that are huge FC St. Pauli fans, and you got to play there for a while. Yeah. What was your experience there like? Because we've been to like watch parties and watch the games. The support for that club is nothing like I've ever seen. They're incredibly unique. What was it like being a player for that team?
It's awesome. St. Pauli, I mean, the fan support was incredible. So you get about, I'd say, 31 or 32 at Milan-Tor Stadion. But it feels like 200,000. They don't stop for 90 minutes. Sometimes we lost the game. This is like a side story. We lost the game, I think 2-1. I can't recall the score. But we really played well. We were just really unlucky, and we fought the whole game. The fans stayed 20 minutes after the game singing, and we just stayed in front of them. Wow. So that's like a small understanding of what kind of fans they were. Very positive. Obviously, you know, when things aren't going that well, you'll feel it too. You don't want to be out. You don't want to be out comfortable eating lunch or dinner. So, overall, it was a great experience with those fans. It's like going to to a loud museum, I can say. People come from all kinds of, all parts of the world just to experience it. When my parents came, they were absolutely shocked. They'd come to other games of mine, different games, but that atmosphere was like none other. I'd have my brother came to a few games. My friends came from Miami, from New York. Cousins have come and just impressed with the atmosphere. And these are people that have been to different stadiums everywhere. And the St. Pauli experience is unique, and it's truly a special one.
I'm just hearing that you got a giant family, bro. You got, that's a lot of tickets.
That's happening to me now. A lot of the MLS, man. The ticket count. You know that the New York game is rough. Miami game is bad. Again, it goes back to that whole working thing, though, because New York, you know, people are always working, so it's not as terrible for the ticket request.
Yeah.
Miami, I started getting requests in December. Like, once they got a team, I got like 200 texts. Yo,
yeah.
I heard June 13th, y'all coming out here. Like,
say like, I want to go see you play soccer. They're like, yo, I heard you can get me tickets to Beckham and them. And you're like, why?
Yeah. Yo, you can get me like six, right? Just six. I don't need anything more than that. Like,
okay. Yeah. Come through this with the owner's suite, but just like for a few seconds. Yeah.
Yo, hook it up. Yeah. Mad crazy, man. It's like, all right, yeah, I'll
I want to ask you, what's it like for like a teenager from a city like New York to go to like an island like Sardinia and start like at a youth level, right? Which you went at like 16 years old. What was that? Like, completely different culture.
It's funny, as different as it was very similar to how I grew up. Because Italians and island people are so similar, it's hilarious. And then I moved, the whole just free living, the whole tardy, we'll take care of it tomorrow. Domani was the word I learned right away. Cause everything I needed taken care of was like, domani. I was like,
all right.
Okay. You know, like,
get to it when I get to it.
Domani on a Tuesday became next Wednesday, literally. Yeah. So it's like, so it was a very, you know, relaxed. That was the only difference, that I did move to Sardinia. So it was an island. And then on top of that, it was very slow compared to the pace of life I was used to. But then Miami kind of also prepared me for that slow pace. It's not as fast paced as people think. It's just a big party city. In Miami, so it kind of prepared me for that. But in terms of what I grew up in, around New York and Miami, it was like I was pretty ready for everything Italian.
How difficult was it at a young age to deal? And I know you've talked about this a lot, to deal with some of the racism that you came into contact with, especially in Sardinia. Is being an island, it's even more secluded than the rest of Italy sometimes feels like they are. How did that? I mean, were you like, yo, let me call some of my cousins to just stand around these stands real quick just to keep shit regular? You know what I mean?
Hey, let me tell you, man, people complain about quarantine, but I did quarantine for a good 4 or 5 months when I got over there. So I'm well equipped for quarantine. I'll go as far to say that it was rough. It was rough. From the beginning to end, but I also have to say if I'm still that close to the culture, it's because I also had great memories, but I had some terrible ones. If we start the stories, we won't end this. So I did have some tough times, really tough times being a young Black kid in Italy. It wasn't easy, but it is something that allowed me to grow and become a man way quicker than I would have expected. And it made me appreciate simple things, and it made me laugh about a lot of things that might make people angry. So my patience is like up here now. It's very, very different.
Deal with it, Domani.
Domani. Hey, oh, you're racist? I will talk about the Domani. All right,
tomorrow we'll get to it.
And right now I got a lot of Domanis with all this going on, so we can be here for days.
I want to also ask about your time with the Philadelphia Union, man. That obviously you look like you had a great time there. I don't know if things ended negatively or positively. I don't know the details. You can get to it if you want to, but can you talk a little bit about your time there, and especially last season was just an unbelievable season. Incredible moments. Obviously, the playoff game against the Red Bulls, the El Seno coming on in the game and just lighting it up. Like,
my guy.
Waking him up in the 60th minute so he can come on and score.
Oh man, what a dude, what a guy. Philly in general was a great experience overall. I got there when I first got there. It was in a strange way after trying to leave on different loans from that were blocked, and I could finally come over back to the States instead and play. So. Philadelphia came up and it was the perfect solution. I was close to New York, 2.5-hour flight from Miami. So I was like, yeah, let me stay East Coast. I can kind of see family more often and being I never lived in Philly, but it was close enough to what I was used to where I'd be, I'd feel more at home in that city life, and not feel kind of out of my comfort zone. And when I got there, I was like, all right, where am I? I don't understand anything. This is really different from New York. It's not as similar. But then I started realizing there were very, very small similarities, and the city grew on me. The city grew on me tremendously. I started to know everybody in the city, but immediately teammates were great. CJ Sapong, I always say he kind of just passed me the keys to the city of Philly. Before he left, gave me a lot of contacts. I made a lot of contacts on my own. Jim was a great coach to me. Our locker room camaraderie and brotherhood in that team, it was special. The last year was a bit more difficult for me because we switched the formation. We had a new director that he was going in a different direction. I was promised some things that I didn't get for a year and a half. And, at the end of the day, as a player, this is your livelihood. So you have to make the most of it in the short amount of time. And that's the reality. It's not, nobody's going to pay my bills in 15 years for me. So I have to do everything that I can now. I give everything that I can. Whoever's on the other end of the table has to keep to their promises and do everything on their end to make sure that that I'm also happy as a player, and certain things weren't done. And the way I left, I think I left in good terms with everyone. I can't say that there's anybody in particular. I hope the fans were understanding of it, that it wasn't fully my decision. And at the same time, when it's all said and done, I'm in a place now that I'm very happy. I've been welcomed very warmly and in a great manner. So. I'm also glad to be here, but at the same time, Philadelphia will always be home to me and will always be my city, as we call it, Fafadelphia. So it's always love when I go back over there and I'm still in contact and in good terms with everybody.
We're still here with Fafa Pico, okay? So far, the homie, Fafa Pico. this is the Fafa Hooligans, we're going to call it. He doesn't get to be Fafa Delta. My question is, so now you're in Dallas. Speaking of Miami, Lucci is a Hialeah kid, right? Which is now your coach. Has that added a little bit to maybe your comfortability in Dallas?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Lucci's a 305 legend, so... when I first signed, I got hit up for the tickets and also, yo, you gonna play for Lucci? Like, Lucci, it was, you know how you said, beckoning him before, it was like, yo, you gonna play for Lucci in him?
Yeah.
So Lucci's, it's nice to be over here, playing for him. Obviously, he definitely understands me as a person cause he knows where I grew up. Yeah. And I understand him and, It's tough coming out of Miami because there's such a lack of discipline, so much talent, so many amazing players. And, one, there wasn't as much opportunity for those that were disciplined. And then two, there's a lot of guys that just lack discipline growing up. So I always have respect for somebody that did come out of Miami because I know it takes an extra amount of discipline to get wherever you want to go leaving there.
Yeah, well, don't talk about my cousins like that, Fafa.
That's my people too, man.
Has anyone called him Lucci Mane yet? I mean, am I the only one?
It's not going to be us.
All right, so then Christian and I got to do it.
Yeah, because I'm not catching that fun.
It's hilarious. What is it? FC Dallas. You know, obviously, they put out incredible talent when it comes to the men's national team. It seems like the system there is rigid, right? It seems like it's serious about come here to work. What is it like compared to some of the other teams that you've played with and played for? Is it a drastic change? Can you speak to FC Dallas's, like, are they really so much more incredibly unique than other MLS clubs that they're putting out talent like this?
Yes, it's honestly special over here with what they do with the young players and how they bring them out. I'd say Philly would have been the second team in the MLS that does that. But when you look at Dallas and you look at how many players have come out of here and how many, and not just players, I'm looking at these guys every day now and I have the opportunity to see how it works. It's really a family from top to bottom. You see so many young players, you know, from the age of 12, actually a player my dad coached in Miami that became a family friend. They moved from Miami to play for FC Dallas. So they live about 15 minutes away from me.
Nice.
And I see him at the center now and he's about 14, I want to say now. And, you know, you see the progress of players and how they come up, and you know it's very nice how everybody receives each other. And I don't think it's an easy club for a young player to thrive in and begin his career and make something of themselves, because they give you all the tools and all the possibilities to do so, in my opinion.
All right.
Damn, Christian, maybe we still have a shot if we move to Dallas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good. Hey, I came over here to get back on national team. It's been about a year plus, so maybe I try to get some of the juice.
I'm only get a heart attack if I go out there. That heat, that ass trying to run. No, thanks.
That brisket hits.
Oh, yeah. Watch. We did it.
We did it again.
We're amazing at this, aren't we? Jesus.
Thank you, Fafa Pico of FC Dallas. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Great dude. So we appreciate your time.
We've been waiting. We've been waiting for a long time to get you on the show. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. So if you're ever back in New York and this is
these are great circumstances.
So everybody, make sure you follow Fafa Pico on social media. You'll see his social media handles. And if anyone's listening, you mind just mentioning your social media handle real quick, Fafa?
Yeah, so it's my name, Fafa Pico. That's my Instagram. And then my Twitter's FafaGoal23.
All right. So we appreciate you, man. So we always end the show the way we normally do. So for Fafa Pico, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros. And together, what are we? The Cooligans!